You're listening to Golf in the Northwest podcast on 1080thefan.com, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market and by Area Heating and Cooling. Now with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein, here's your host, Jason Swigard.
Well, good morning. Live from Las Vegas. I am here. I made it. Just barely. Glad to see everybody's doing okay. I hope everybody's okay. I can't believe it's still snowing there. How are you, Harold?
I'm great. It's not snowing, Swag. And we imagine you lying in a hotel room in Las Vegas with a couple of women of the evening and
no.
To get on the air. You're good?
Well, that's relative to the situation, but yes, I am here. The pilot season has come to an end, and we'll be back tomorrow. That's about all I'll say.
Swag, why did you start the show with, "I can't believe it's snowing there," when you're not here?
Because we had texts and pictures and stuff, the people with the pilots in the group, like it was snowing.
Oh, no way, man. It's a beautiful spring day here. It's March. It's looking great. It's sunny. There's a little bit of fog coming off the river. It's beautiful.
And there's our weather report from
Kip Diddley.
Kip Diddley and his green board. We're in good shape here. We're going to have a golf day today. I'm seeing some.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah. Going to hit.
It is about time. Hallelujah. Because it was snowing in giant flakes when we left. Earlier in the week, we kept getting reports and texts and pictures, people sending us everything snowing back there. So Lord knows everybody needs to get out and get on the range or get on the links.
Yeah, sooner the better. I think, I hit balls the last 2 days, and I have that 50-degree rule that I pushed back to 45, and yesterday it was 38. But I had to get out. I'm not going to walk 18 holes unless it's above 45, though. That's the rule. Was that I wasn't going to play golf until the temperature and my age matched. And
got to wait.
I'd have to wait till July.
And Harold, you're going to have to take some dressing tips from one Jason Swigard when it comes to the golf shorts. Get them up to the, I would say, highest quarter yams. So it's a struggle to keep everything in.
There is no way I would take fashion tips from Swigard. No way at all. I won't be in the same foursome with him with sometimes the way he dresses. Now, when your T-shirt comes out on the sleeve past your polo shirt, that's when I got to walk away. And so,
that's true.
Yeah. All right, Swag. We're going to redress
you right
this year.
Well, that's okay. I need all the help I can get. Hey, we have Blaine Seitz with Golf Mobilist 830. During our tip segment with mobilistgolf.com, and we'll check in with him, helping us get some tips. We've got obviously a lot of stuff going on. What's so funny?
What have you been drinking there, Swag? You've been celebrating something, and I know it's not the pilot season. What's going on?
Well, there was celebration. Listen, not going to lie, it was a late night. There were cigars being smoked. It was a sight to see.
Swag, true or false, you are an outside town of Las Vegas' bus station, and you had the enough thought to bring the tie line with you, and you woke up, and now you're doing it.
No, I'm in my hotel room right now. Right now, I've got the computer up. We are getting ready to go. We've got another giveaway today, courtesy of our friends at orangewhipgolf.com. We're going to give away the wedge trainer later today, so listen for the keyword, the code word there. We'll hand that out a couple of times. I don't know what Harold has cooked up as well.
Not much.
And,
I just kind of showed up hoping I'd have a co-host sitting here.
Last time, I did barely make it. Last time. We're on the road, and so we'll be back in the studio. Everything will be all back to normal starting next week. We'll get cranked up. It'll be for the Players' Championship, so that'll be exciting. We hope Tiger Woods is there as well, but we'll have to wait and see how his neck responds. So without further ado, you guys are having way too much fun.
It's good. You're doing great. Let's keep going.
Yeah. This is it. This is going to be one of our best ofs. Go for it.
No question. We're winning Marconi Awards with this. Hey, let's go inside the ropes, shall we?
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards. The latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
So let's go inside the ropes. Just a couple of tours in action this week. Champions Tour is still on the West Coast. They're in Newport Beach, California for the Hogue Classic. Scotty McCarron, Fran Quinn, who I've never heard of, 7-under par. Doug Garwood there at 5-under. You've got Corey Pavin, Billy Andrade at 4-under par, along with David Toms, Freddie Couples at 3-under. And because, hard to believe, but Bernhard Langer got hurt. He went and got hurt. He's the most fit guy you'd ever want to run across on any tour. But now everybody else has a chance to win, Harold.
Yeah, and I think they will, except the defending champion, Vijay Singh, 56 years old, is playing in the Arnold Palmer this week. So, and he's playing well. I mean, he almost won last week,
so exactly. There you go.
And he's thinking, wait a minute, I'm not 56, I'm 36. So he's out there trying to bat it around with the young guys. And in the meantime, you've got Scott McCarron, who is, he's been around a while. He's got 8 Champions Tour victories, and he's won 3 times on the PGA Tour. So this guy can play. Like you, I don't know who the other guy is. And I just haven't had time to look it up, but we'll find out who he is. We've got some help in the studio today with Luke Anderson. He's going to look up who.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he'll find who this what's the guy's first name?
Fran Quinn.
Fran Quinn. Okay, he's working on it right now. We've got our crack staff on it, and the other crack staffer is in the control room trying to...
He doesn't even have a profile on the PGAtour.com site. That's how unknown Fran Quinn is.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, we...
I'm not making this up.
Bets on what Fran Quinn does as his day job to pay for everything else.
What does he do?
Well, what do you think?
I have no idea.
I would guess he works for Dad's company doing something. He doesn't do this full time unless...
Well, he's an old guy, though. If he's on the Champions Tour, he's not working for his dad.
Well, maybe he's working for someone's dad.
Yeah. His wife might be supporting him, kind of like my situation.
Oh, nice, dude. Yeah, you got into that one, huh?
Yeah, I did. I fell right into it. Yeah.
That's all you can hope for, really.
All right, Swag, are you still there?
I'm here. I'm just letting you guys talk. I'm enjoying it. Don't worry about it.
Luke Anderson with your Fran Quinn update. He has 8 professional wins total, 4 on the nationwide tour. August 1st, 1999, he won the Nike Dakota Dunes Open. In February 6, 2000, he won the Buy.com Florida Classic. On September 20th in 2009, won the Albertsons Boise Open. And February 29th, 2010, he won the Panama Clario Championship. He also won a tour in Asia and 2 wins not listed on any tour. So there you go. That's your Fran Quinn update. I'm Luke Anderson.
Luke Anderson.
That was awesome.
Ear. Yeah, it was.
That golf voice and everything, that was so fantastic.
Yeah.
We couldn't ask for anything better.
We'll have to get a golf clap to put on there for later.
Exactly.
There's the golf clap sound effect. Thank you.
We'll do the golf clap for you there.
Our best of is not going to include you and I, Swag. It'll be Luke. Luke and Will.
I was ready to step in, Swag, and then when you came on the mic, I'm still ready to step in.
Yeah.
You just let me know.
That's okay. We appreciate it. You got that big Roger Maltby, like, ginormous mic with the huge shag carpeting on it.
Well, I've done every
Have you
show,
seen him?
I've done every show on The Fan this week, so I might as well part of the golf show as well. So, all right.
Ratings are shooting right through the sky.
Sky high.
Yeah.
It's been high.
1080 the Luke. That's what it is. All right. I'll be back with the sinner and the saint. Good luck, Swag. If you pass out, I'm ready to step in.
Nope. I'm good. We're ready to roll. Arnold Palmer Invitational in Bay Hill is where the PGA Tour this week, except for Tiger. He most notably pulled out earlier in the week due to a strained neck, and he's trying to see if he can be ready to play in the Players Championship next week. But other than that, a star-studded feel for Arnold Palmer's event. Tommy Fleetwood and Keegan Bradley at 9 under par have put some distance between them and the rest of the field. Chris Kirk is on the course this morning. He's already 5 under through 8 holes, so scoring conditions good. The wind is down there at Bay Hill. He's tied with Billy Horschel and Johnny Vegas. There's a huge log jam at 5 under. Last week's winner, Keith Mitchell, is in, as well as Kevin Kisner. Francesco Molinari, the defending British Open champion, Bubba Watson, Patrick Reed are at 4 under par. And this, much like Riviera turned out to be in the Genesis Open, one of those tournaments that, based on where it is in the schedule and some of the prestige with Arnold Palmer and the course, are drawing major-like fields so far.
Yeah, and it's interesting that the Europeans are over here. I think they're all preparing for the Masters, the Tour Championship. So this is a good field. It would be better if Tiger had played. The idea of Tiger pulling out early is interesting. Anderson, don't look at me like that. We've got the boys from the Ryder Cup team, the European Ryder Cup team, Fleetwood and Molinari up near the top, playing well. Did you see what Phil tried to pull off on an out of bounds?
So he hit it over by a temporary fence near somebody's backyard, just avoided going out of bounds, and the direction of the fence, he didn't have a play left-handed, so he had to turn over a 9-iron and go for it right-handed, which, look, we've seen Phil do all sorts of crazy things in hospitality tents, but I think that one was, he should have taken an unplayable lie or something at that point.
No kidding. Now, Phil is right-handed. He just plays golf left-handed. So for him to make a swing right-handed with a club upside down, it was a 9-iron. He hit it. He looks around. The ball went about 6 inches and stuck up into that netting of the fence. And then just fell back down. I don't understand the ruling change there, but he got relief then. Even though his ball was out of bounds then, he got relief and was penalized one stroke.
It's part of the new rules, trying to make things a little less penal when you go out of bounds. And he doesn't have to go all the way back to where he was before. It is nearest relief to the out of bounds and one stroke penalty. And so they're, again, trying to speed up play, trying to not penalize guys to the point where it takes them out of contention in a round or in a tournament. So he benefited there, but probably had he taken the unplayable earlier, might have got out of there with a bogey.
Instead of the double, and then he managed to make another double, and he ended up with a 78, and he said, well, that's probably as good as I could have played. He was hitting the ball absolutely sideways, and we see Phil do that quite often. He's supposedly this creative genius who, I guess, he's just a free thinker, and he just hits the ball sideways. And it happens to all players, but it seems to happen to Phil at the wrong time. And this was the wrong time. He ends up 2 over par and misses the cut. So it's unfortunate. If he had been playing as well as he has the last couple of weeks, that would have made this particular tournament that much more exciting.
No question. And as we get closer to the Players and then to the Masters, you would want to see him. I mean, he does have a win this season, so I would think he'd be starting to try and dial it in and hone it in to keep himself in play and in contention, especially with the types of purses and titles that are coming up here in the next month.
Well, he's only going to play 20 tournaments this year, so he has to be very selective. You know, he's 48 years old. He's not a kid. 48? Yeah, 46, something like that. Oh, no, he's 48. So he's not feeling like he can go out and play every week. He's probably not going to play in the what's the big one coming up? The
in the players?
Players Championship. He said he's going to hit some balls on the range, see how he feels, and he might go out and play. He's won that back in 2007, but other than that, he has not played that golf course well, and so he's thinking maybe I'll skip this week and play somewhere else or not play at all.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, because I know most people were readjusting their schedules to be ready to play in the Players, and it'll be interesting to see how TPC Sawgrass plays in March rather than May when we're used to seeing it. So that'll be something we're going to keep an eye on for next week as well. We'll talk a little bit more about this. There's more dust-ups between the PGA Tour and the USGA regarding the rules and who's coming to meetings, who's canceling meetings. Why can't those two bodies seem to get on the same page? And how important is it that those two bodies are on the same page compared to I don't know. I think sometimes we get lost between what matters on the PGA Tour as compared to all of us average people wanting to go out and enjoy playing golf at our local clubs in local events. And it's why bifurcation was brought up before they redid all the new rules in the first place. And do the tour players just need to have some special rules for them or do things a little differently? We can discuss more about that as well. And so we'll have that when we come back. And I don't know. And hopefully maybe we'll hear a little bit from the leaders, Keegan Bradley, Tommy Fleetwood as well, see what they think of what's going on down there in Orlando. As we're just getting going here this morning, I'm in Vegas. The guys are back in the studio, and we've got golf here for another 45 minutes. So we'll come back with some more for you. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. Good morning, 8:20 here, live from Las Vegas. I'm down here wrapping things up for pilot season in the WCC tournament. So I will be back in studio for the rest of the run of Golf in the Northwest next week. Harold is there manning his normal post. Blaine Seitz going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes from MobilitasGolf.com, working on getting yourself in shape, moving better to play better. And so we'll get into tips there with Blaine. Right now, though, I want to give you out the code word for our giveaway this week, courtesy of OrangeWhipGolf.com. And this time it's going to be the wedge trainer that they've got from the Full Swing. This actually, rather than the big orange ball at the end that you see, it actually has a wedge head, but the shaft is the same to try and work and get that swing in rhythm, in time. And so you want to text the code word CHIP, C-H-I-P, to 55305 on the Better You Today text line. And we will pick a random winner from the entries during the show and notify you on Monday. And I understand the people that have won have been pretty excited to win so far.
Well, they should be. These are great training tools. The wedge training tool is particularly good if you have a little bit of trouble with the yips and you're sculling and chunking shots with a wedge. It's a very flexible shaft. It teaches you a little bit about rhythm and tempo through a shot. The problem that players have when they chunk or shoot one across the green is that their tempo tends to speed up. So it might take the club back very slowly, and then they try to speed up or accelerate coming through, and they can't control it. And this wedge will really help you in that with that problem.
So, yeah, again, text CHIP, C-H-I-P, to 55305 at the Better You Today text line. I want to revisit the Arnold Palmer Invitational going on right now down at Bay Hill in Orlando. Two names up at the leaderboard that are fairly familiar to people, Tommy Fleetwood after the show he put on at the Ryder Cup. But has yet to win on the PGA Tour. He is tied with Keegan Bradley at 9-under par. And for Keegan, after his hot start to his career, many thought he was going to be among the names with Spieth and Thomas and Ricky Fowler, those guys consistently winning after he got a major earlier in his career. He kind of faded away from that. but is coming back recently, and after his round, had some thoughts about being back in contention, playing in a final group on a weekend.
I even felt different today. I felt way calmer, and I felt comfortable with where I was. And I'm sure this weekend I'll be uncomfortable and nervous, but you know, the win in Aramanik is going to be a big thing come this weekend. And I've been there before, and I hope to be there again. And if all I can do is just put myself in these positions, and if I give myself enough chances, I should close a couple out.
It's been a lot of years since he's won. It's 6 or 7 years since Keegan Bradley has won. He used to work with Jim McClain. He switched teachers. Sometimes that can create some problems, a little bit of adjustment. He's got a very unusual setup position, hands very low. He's a tall guy with his hands low. If a lot of tall players with hands that low would tend to hook the ball, but he doesn't. He hits it straight, and he hits it pretty long. So he's kind of making a comeback. So he hasn't been up near the top of the leaderboard in forever. And as you said, Tommy Fleetwood has not won on the tour. It's interesting. Tommy Fleetwood does not have an equipment contract. Now, here's a guy who's won just about everything in Europe. It comes over to the States and makes a lot of noise over here, and yet there's not a club company that is willing to give him a contract. I find that particularly odd.
Yeah, it really is, especially as I think he's just not quite known the way Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose, some of the guys over here on Europe, he's known in Great Britain. He's a huge star there. And you would think golf companies would want to sell product over in that part of the world. He's been very successful on the European Tour, and it's only a matter of time before we see him get a PGA Tour victory. And once he does, he'll start rattling them off, and many think he's going to be in contention for several of the majors this year.
Yeah, and he was picked last year quite high. The odds makers had him pretty high at the Masters, and he didn't do as well as expected. But I think... in another couple of weeks, you're going to see Tommy Fleetwood's name pretty high with pretty good odds to win the Masters or even the Players. He's here to do it. What a good player he is, and he's one of the best putters on tour. Keegan Bradley, on the other hand, who knows what's going to happen to him coming into the weekend. I noticed Sam Saunders played pretty good. And Keith Mitchell, what do you say about this guy winning last week? Nobody knows who he is. Newspapers are kind of teasing him, saying he's a no-name champion. But this guy's right up near the top at 5-under.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And the way he won last week there with birdieing 18 to hold off and defeat Koepka there at the end, and Ricky Fowler to avoid a three-man playoff. That's gutsy stuff, and that white-knuckle ride he came in over the last five or six holes, that will serve him well in his PGA Tour career.
Yeah, no kidding. And if you recall, back when was it, a couple of years ago, he was on the 18th hole at the Web.com Tour in Portland, and he thought he needed an eagle to get his card. So he plays a putt well past the hole, misses the 15-footer coming back, and misses his card by one shot. So he's got another 15-footer. He's out on tour for his first victory, and he knocks it in the hole. But he couldn't help but remember that missed putt at the at Pumpkin Ridge.
No question. And it really is amazing. And that's why we talk about the Web.com Tour and what a development tool it has been for guys getting to the PGA Tour. We're going to have our guests coming up real quick. And so I think we'll put on hold this dust up between the USGA and the PGA Tour and Justin Thomas and the rules and who's talking to who and who's canceling meetings. I'll get your thoughts because I know you will have them and you will have a definitive opinion on exactly where the breakdown between the two parties. And I think there's fault to go around on both sides. So we'll get into that maybe in the business of golf. But coming up next, Blaine Seitz from Mobilitas Golf going to join us, mobilitasgolf.com. Blaine, a national speaker, and a PGA golf performance coach and creator of Mobilitas Golf. He will be our guest coming up next as we make the turn here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Bluestein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
Welcome back in. 8:31 here on The Fan Center in St. Coming up following us, and then tonight on The Fan, it will be Ducks basketball as they wrap up the regular season at Washington, needing a win and some help to get a top four seed for the Pac-12 men's basketball tournament next week. Plenty of hoops for you as well. 11:45, we'll have the Duke-North Carolina game as well. And then over on 910 ESPN Portland at 1 o'clock, doubleheader for you. The 6A Boys High School Basketball Championship wraps up. We'll have the third-place game and the title game. Preston Highfield and Rashad Taylor on the call there. Ducks baseball later tonight from Hawaii. So that's the lineup today on The Fan and 910. But joining us now is Blaine Seitz. I hope I'm getting that right. Blaine from MobilitasGolf.com. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, thank you for joining us, and thanks to responding to Harold there. We greatly appreciate it. The website is MobilitasGolf.com, and if you go right on there to the homepage, you'll get to see a little video. Maybe describe a little bit what Mobilitas Golf is about in terms of the golf instruction and helping guys get more out of their game.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been more or less involved with golf my entire life. And since about the age of 15, I knew I wanted to be a golf instructor. And it was about that same age that I started to experience back pain from the golf swing. But at the time, I didn't really realize there was anything I could do about it. I had played a lot of golf, and everybody seemed to acknowledge that back pain and golf just go together, and you pop a few ibuprofen, you move on with your day, and you just get over it. And it was back in about 2011, I was introduced into the fitness and mobility world through one of my coworkers, and really started to dive down this rabbit hole of understanding that you can actually change the way that your body functions to kind of optimize your swing. So I took this whole philosophy and put it together into my coaching program, where I now work with golfers on mobility and athletic development. And I'm a big believer that if we have compensations in the way that we swing a club, it's not just a matter of changing the position of the club. It's a matter of looking under the hood at what's going on with the rest of the car, the engine, the transmission, the braking system, all that good stuff. And then as you build a better car, you can drive it the way that you want it to. And that's where Mobilitas comes from, is kind of the Latin for mobility, of just being able to move better and play better. And that's what I'm all about, is helping people kind of remove those limitations that are preventing them from reaching the greatest potential.
Good morning, Blaine. Nice. Thanks for coming on with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Harold.
Two things that struck me as you were talking. One is helping a player before they swing and remaining mobile. And the other is developing a golf swing that will mitigate any back issues. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I'm working with golfers, the first thing I do before we even swing a club is we sit down and kind of talk about a little bit of their history and athleticism, if they've had any if they get any pain, if they've had any injuries, surgeries, replacements, anything like that. And I just want to get a good understanding of where that player is coming from. And then I take them through a series of movement and performance kind of assessments and just seeing what their body can and can't do. And a lot of times in the traditional golf instruction world, we jump into looking at what the club does, but if we don't have the understanding of why it's doing what it does, we're going to end up hurting that player. And so I want to make sure that if they have any limitations in the way that, say, their hips move or that their shoulders move, that I'm not going to ask them to do anything that they can't do. Because once we start going down that rabbit hole, that's where our body tries to compensate and you know, we as humans, we want to do the best we can. So we say, oh, well, you know what? I'm working with this great instructor. They want me to get the club here, and we really fight for that position. And we'll figure out a way to make it happen, but it's going to be at the cost of what our body is able to do, and that's where a lot of back pain comes from. It's not necessarily, and that's not always the case, but it's not necessarily directly from the back. It's a referral pattern from somewhere else in the body, like the hips and the shoulders or so forth.
I'm glad you brought this up, because there's way too much emphasis on the equipment, making players better by improving their equipment. We refer to that in our industry as trying to buy a game, when in fact the club's not going to do a damn thing unless the player swinging it does something correct. So thanks for saying that. I've worked quite a bit with body track and ground forces and things like that. And what I found is that back issues can come directly from how our lower body and our hips work. Do you agree?
Oh, 100%.
So when, and this is a general statement, you're looking at every player as being different, but tell me what a normal player can't do. We talk quite a bit about the hips and the lower body movement, but there are three movements that the lower body has to make. One is a rotation, the other is a slide, and the third is a movement up. How are you going to make that player better with regard to their hips?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of hip issues, and everybody works on a case-by-case basis, but I'd say the vast majority of golfers and non-golfers have problems with their hips because they spend so much time sitting behind a desk as part of their daily life. And what that does is it creates an imbalance in their body where certain muscles, like the front of their hips, become really short and tight and stiff. And then the backside, where our butt is and our hamstrings, they actually become longer and weaker. And now we have to use muscles in ways that they're not meant to be used. So if that's the case, which it usually is with the vast majority of players, now those rotation aspects or the tilts and the side bends aren't going to happen. So what we'll do are different exercises or mobility techniques to lengthen the hip flexors, then activate the glute muscles and start to bring a balance back into that. And then what I found with my teaching philosophy is anytime you increase the range of motion of, say, a joint or some muscles, at first, our body doesn't quite know what to do with it. And some people get the sensation that they're like a newborn giraffe and they're learning how to walk on their legs. But I like to look at this as what I call a window of opportunity. So we increase the range of motion, and now our body is craving information on how do we now use this to our benefit. So in that window of opportunity, we can retrain the proper pattern that we're looking for. So if you're familiar with body track, there's a lot of great ground force information out there, and we find out that if players aren't quite loading their trail leg on the backswing, we can increase the range of motion in their trail hip, do some glute activation exercises, and then use that feedback from something like a body track or a K-Best and teach them what it's supposed to feel like. And then through that repetitive repetition there, we really get them to, you know, ingrain what it should feel like instead of trying to make it work with what they got. And that window of opportunity is a really critical point for making it stick and making it last.
Blaine Seitz is our guest. Mobilitas Golf, I'm not saying it right still, but mobilitasgolf.com is the website to find out more specifics about his teaching performance. And I guess the question there, some golfers who maybe experienced the back pain but have played for a while may be hearing all this and thinking, oh my goodness, this is a huge ordeal. What sort of a time frame, if they were interested in experiencing back pain and wanted to kind of readjust their swing to it, what sort of time frame are they looking at in terms of working on their own and with some instruction to reshaping their swing to where it won't cause them those sorts of issues in the future?
Sure, really good question. So It really depends on what the issue is. If it's something where you have a player who, after a round, they just feel like a dull nagging in their back, that's going to be completely different than if you have somebody with a history of disc issues and herniations and things of that nature. So everybody's going to be on a case-by-case basis. But assuming we take just the average, let's say, mid-40s, mid-50s players, been sitting behind a desk for a while, but they love playing golf, they go on golf trips, but they need to pop some ibuprofen. I mean, they're going to start to feel a change after our first session, and that's going to start to kind of compound on itself over the span of a few weeks. So the back pain thing, we're talking a lot of hips, but there are other things that go into it, such as the upper body, which we haven't touched on. But I would think within a couple of weeks of following a regimented program, they're going to start to notice a big difference, and their swing is going to start to become more authentic. You know, the idea is we don't want to have to do 20 things wrong in the right order to make a swing. Our body should be able to tell us what our swing is going to perform like, because everybody's body is a little bit different. So if we have somebody that does sit behind a desk for a while, we can teach them the right things to do and how to mitigate making it worse, they're going to start to feel different in a very short amount of time. And then after that, it's just a matter of how much time are they willing to put in to maintain and then continue to increase that performance.
Blaine, I wrote down as you were talking, and actually prior to you mentioning it, the upper back. And I know there's a lot of players who deal with tension up in the shoulders. I see it all the time in my students where they can't take the club back or make any rotational movement because their shoulders tend to migrate toward their ears. And so that would indicate to me that there's some issue or injury in their upper back. How can we help that player?
Absolutely. So another really great question. And in the vast majority of cases, it comes back to the same thing that was going on with the lower body, which is sitting behind a desk for 40 plus hours a day with our daily commutes, sitting at the table, watching TV, kids' sports games, you name it. And so we have this kind of almost chronic epidemic in our society these days that we slouch and round forward. We're texting on our phones. We're typing on keyboards. And what happens is our body is really good at adapting. And so what happens is when we sit in these rounded positions, our body thinks, okay, well, this must be the position that I should be in. And we adapt to it, which causes, again, an imbalance where, say, the muscles of the front of our chest become really short and tight, and that pulls our shoulders forward, and it puts our spine into what's called flexion. And the cool thing about the middle of our spine, the spine that goes through our rib cage, what's called our thoracic spine, is it's really good at moving forward and backward, side to side, and twisting. But it only likes to do one of those at a time. So if it's stuck in this flexed or rounded position forward, it's not going to be able to rotate. And that's just due to the very nature of how those structures are designed. So a lot of times in the golf swing, because we have players that sit behind a desk and then come straight out to the range, and then, God forbid, they try to just rip driver right off the bat because that's the one everybody loves hitting, what's going to happen is they're not going to be able to rotate the way that they should be able to, and that causes a lot of backswing problems as well as lower back problems, because the lower back, by its very nature, shouldn't move around very much. That's the job of our core, is to keep our lower back stable and kind of in place to minimize that movement. But if what's going on above it, near our shoulders and our thoracic spine, if that's not working, and if what's going on below it, where our hips and our butt is, if those aren't working, then our lower back tries to help out, and that's where most of the back pain comes from, is we're trying to use that segment of our body in a way that it's not designed to use. And if we don't have a stable core or an active butt, we can't protect it from those stresses that we put on it.
Well, I can tell you at a certain age, I don't have an active butt anymore. Swigard's younger, and I'm not sure his is working either. So, Blaine, you talk, and I don't want to get too technical here, but what I noticed in a lot of players is that they have shoulder issues in the golf swing. You're talking about the rounding of the shoulders. And my physical therapist, the first thing they did in my shoulder recovery was work on strengthening my scapular muscles, which are, we talk about the front all the time, the pecs and the abs, but we forget those back muscles and particularly the scapular muscles. Anything that TPI has taught you or any of your work that drills that people can do for those scap muscles?
Yeah, so you make a really great point here. So if the chest is tight, it rounds our shoulders forward, so we need to balance it out by a combination of strengthening our back and by loosening up the front. And so in the TPI model, they'll make it very clear that if your shoulder blades aren't back and engaged the proper way, you're going to lose what's called external rotation of your shoulder. So there's a couple of really great exercises for this, and I'll do my best to describe it. But imagine that you're holding a driver with both hands on the club, but the club is actually behind you. So you're holding it kind of like if you were in the gym and you had a barbell, but in this case, I want it to be behind you, so it's maybe up against your butt. You have both hands on the club out to the side of your body, so maybe your little fingers are by your hips or just outside of that, and your palms are facing away from your body. Now, you can go as wide as you need to on the driver, but holding in that position, you can actually raise the club up and backwards so that it's raising above your butt and then it's going kind of behind your back. I hope this is still making sense. But once you get to that position, you try to rip the club apart. You try to pull it apart, and you're going to, at the same time, open up your chest and strengthen the back. And it's a really great, really simple exercise for bringing that balance back. And you can do it on the course, and you really don't need any equipment other than your golf club. And for anybody who's interested, I did a demonstration of this exercise when I was speaking on the TPI stage at the PGA show back in January. And I have that video on my YouTube page. So if my description doesn't do it justice, you can go watch that and see exactly what I'm talking about. I have a couple volunteers come up on the stage and we go through that exercise.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. Blaine Seitz, mobilitasgolf.com. He's here in Portland. How else can people get in touch with you to find out more about it or get some instruction from you as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to my website, mobilitasgolf.com, and then I'm also on social media. My main platform right now is Instagram, but I also have a Facebook and YouTube page, and those are both at mobilitasgolf, or you can email me, mobilitasgolf@gmail.com.
Fantastic. We really appreciate you taking some time for us this morning, and we'd love to have you back on down the road.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime. I really appreciate the call. It's been fun talking with you guys.
That was Blaine Seitz from mobilitasgolf.com, and I can tell you that everything he was saying, it really is so valuable. I see players day in and day out who can't swing clubs properly or get their ball performance the way they would prefer because their bodies are just not prepared to make a golf swing. They think it's an easy motion back and through. Well, in some ways it is, but if you watch the tour players, these guys are in good shape. They might, some of them might look a little lumpy at times, but I can tell you they're working on their flexibility and their mobility, which comes from good balance. And the things that Blaine was telling us are extremely important, particularly if you want to play at your full potential.
No question, no question. Thanks to Blaine for joining us again. Mobilitas Golf, M-O-B-I-L-I-T-A-S Golf. .com. When we come back, we'll give you the code word again for our Orange Whip Wedge Trainer that we are giving away today. And then we'll talk a little bit about this more dust up. The PGA, the USGA, and the RNA just can't seem to get on the same page. But I'll ask Harold, is it really that big a deal to the game of golf, or is this just minutia for the tour players and a little drama there to get some headlines? We'll finish up with that in the business of golf when we come back here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf, every week on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on the Fan by Area Heating and Cooling.
8:52 here this morning, wrapping things up with Harold back in the studio. I'm down in Vegas. I'll be back next week, and Pilots basketball is done, so I will be back in the studio for the rest of the run here, taking you all the way through the Tour Championship in late August. But thanks to Blaine Seitz again. That was mobilitasgolf.com. We want to give out the code word one more time to win that Orange Whip Wedge Trainer. The code word is CHIP, C-H-I-P. You can text that to 55305 on the Better You Today text line. We'll pick a random winner from today's entries during the show. And if you're that winner, expect a phone call from our promotions department early next week. All right, Harold, we can't seem to get past the new rules. We've had dust-ups. Ricky Fowler has been involved. We've seen a penalty now issued for a caddy staying too long behind the player. So it was deemed he was helping him line up his shot. I think they were in a bunker at the time or something. There was something odd. It wasn't on the putting green. And then we have this latest thing with Justin Thomas in a Twitter spat with the USGA talking about who's coming to meetings, who's canceling meetings. Jay Monahan had to get involved and some others. Is this just an isolated thing? Are we blowing this up between the PGA Tour players and the USGA on the rules?
No, not at all. I think this is a big issue, and this issue has come up before several years ago. You have to realize that these rules didn't come overnight. The USGA and the RNA have been working on this rules change for 7 years. So now I blame them for not including the players in some of the discussions, but I can tell you I don't think anything would have come out differently because, quite frankly, there's not a player on tour today who could ever pass the USGA rules test. These guys don't know anything about the rules, and they know little things here and there. So whatever contribution they would make, it would be totally self-involved or self-realized. It's not going to be about growing the game. They may give you lip service in that direction, but they care little of nothing or nothing about the general public's golf. They care about what they do out on the tour. So including them would have been nice, but I don't think that things would have been that much different.
What can the USGA and the PGA Tour do to make this headline go away so we're not constantly talking about it and just enjoying the tournaments that we watch and attend?
Well, I hope that, it doesn't necessarily go away because this is great fun. But what do they do? I don't think anything. I think the players have to stop for a minute and say, hey, wait a minute. These are the rules of golf. They've been like this forever, 100 years. Yes, there's a change. We're going to have to get used to it, and we're going to have to play by these rules. Anyone who says it's okay for a caddy to stand behind their player to line them up doesn't understand that this game is about the player's performance and not about a team performance. And because it's not a team game. The caddy's part of the team, but having him line or her line you up to a target means that the player is unable to do it themselves. And I think that is inexcusable. A player has to be able to do that. I don't have a problem with that. Dropping the ball from knee height, that could have been arranged to say, well, there's a general range of dropping the ball from the hip to the knee, somewhere in that vicinity. So they could have been a little less specific about that, and I think the players would have gone along with it. But on the other hand, I think the players have to just get used to the fact that the rules are the rules. Go out and play your game and stop whining about it and proving that you're the prima donna that people think that or perceive you to be. So whether this is going to go away or not, I think it'll as the season kicks in and people are viewers and golfers are more interested in performance at the Masters and at the Players, I think the idea of rules will take a back seat. But don't be surprised if somewhere along the line somebody's penalized for slow play. I think that's the first thing you're going to
Let's
see
hope
now.
So.
Yep.
That's the one that they actually need to enforce, is keeping people on the clock and in position. We will hope that we see that in the 5.5 hour, 6 hour rounds are a thing of the past. Those guys are too good, quite frankly, to be playing 5.5 and 6 hour rounds. So thanks to Blaine Seitz for joining us there again. MobilitasGolf.com if you're interested in his teaching and instruction program there. Thanks to Harold. Thanks to Will back in the studio. We got Sinner and Saint coming up next. I'll finally be back, Harold. We'll be back together again starting next week.
Yeah, I've missed you, although it's not bad looking across the table here at Luke Anderson. He's a good-looking man.
I know. That is a pretty beard. It's a pretty beard.
All right, bud. I'll see you next week.
All right, we'll see you next week. Sinner and Saint is up next. For Harold, I'm Jason. Hit 'em straight.
Wind's blowing in our faces. I just cream. You can just stuff so many pastries in your mouth. I have a spreadsheet.
Trying to make things a little less penal.
So I'm sure they had her out beating balls until the cows came home. The idea of Tiger pulling out early is interesting. It's coming into the player's face.
Take mom out.
Put her where the sun don't shine if we get the ball in the hole. Features in Europe.